place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FTC Radio Live, folks. Your eyes are not deceiving you. This is not a graphic. Trust me, I'm not good enough to do this. He is actually real. He is here. He is alive. And he actually exists for those out there that actually doubted it, like myself, because, you know, I've for months, years, we've done this show. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I've given you a proper introduction. I should have put the black screen over your camera in order to hype the crowd up a little bit. I should have known this. Clearly, I dropped the ball, but I was so excited to, of course, get the man in here himself. He is Mr. Mike Debate. Mike,
hello.
Welcome.
Oh, I am happy to be here. Yes, I do exist, folks. Look, See? Right now, in the flesh, I don't know if that's making your flesh crawl or whatever. If I'm disrupting your breakfast, I do apologize. But no, this is great. This is great to be here and great to be a part of this. And yeah, I'm loving it, bud.
Yeah, hey, you know, we've been looking and trying to do this for quite some time. Obviously, connection issues and just, you know, obviously technology has gotten in the way. But this is definitely going to be the new norm, and we're excited for it. If you happen to tune in on Monday night, we did a collective group mock draft. There we go. I lost the word there for a second, and you know, got to see a bunch of us up here on camera having a good time, and you know, we're looking forward to doing that more often moving forward. Now that we have this nice little interactivity here, and I no longer have to use the on the phone graphic with Mike. See, I don't have to use it anymore. It's over. It's done with. No more on the phone. It's he's here. He's alive and well, and we're gonna be rocking and rolling, talking about whatever is in the news. And actually, what's in the news is Antonio Brown, and for a good reason too. And it's something that we kind of anticipated the last couple months. Or at least since the end of the Super Bowl, and that is he's going to re-sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And guess what? He did. So Antonio Brown becomes the latest Tampa Bay Buccaneer to re-sign with the team. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm getting pretty close to the point of just predicting them to win the Super Bowl right now, regardless of what happens this weekend over the draft. I at this point, I don't care. There's nothing that's probably going to convince me otherwise that another team should be the favorite. This team is loaded, and I thought that they were better. I thought they were going to be better this year than last year, just by virtue of, you know, having an off season, having a training camp, being together for an actual season, and not having the first snaps you take together be a week one game against the Saints. This team's going to be scary good, and it's loaded with talent, and of course, we all know the one piece that makes all talent go is Tom Brady, and he's still here. And yeah, so what do you think? Obviously, are you getting close to calling it now, making the prediction in what, the end of April, that this team is probably going to go back to back? And to say I don't use probably going back to back lightly. I just want to put that out there.
It's hard to argue against it at this point. I mean, look, bottom line, you get a team that has the pedigree that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have, a Super Bowl caliber team, a Super Bowl winning team, bringing back all the pieces that you were hoping to retain. It's almost impossible to think that they're not going to be right in the thick of things and right there, you know, winning another Super Bowl championship. In my opinion, I think they're in the driver's seat. I don't see a team right now that is so formidable that I would look at it and say, well, no, even with all these additions, there's still a cut below Team A or Team B. This is a team right now that is capable of winning, and they've got Tom Brady under center. You and I both know it. We've seen it so many times. Are you going to bet against them? I'm not.
Actually, in fact, I've won a lot of money betting for him, you know, and it's actually kind of my principle. I bet that Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl, and 50% of the time, I'm right. You know, that's pretty much how it works. You know, and guess what? That's a much larger. Yeah, it's a much larger percentage than most most people get when they come to predicting Super Bowl champions. And look, I take the easy way out. Of course, I pick Tom Brady every time because hey, guess what? He's always in the Super Bowl. But no, obviously, they've spent this whole offseason, declaring that they're going to bring everyone back. We saw the, we saw the quotes during the parade, and a lot of people chalked that up to, one too many Bud Lights, being passed around on a sunny afternoon in Tampa on the water. Okay, all right, Jason, like, yeah, you want to bring everyone back. That's what everyone says. Well, guess what? They did. Like, literally, they brought all their starters back, and pretty much all their backups, key backups. We call Antonio Brown a backup, but over the last 5 weeks of the season, he led the Bucs in receptions. Him and Tom Brady have a connection that isn't quite explained. We can't quite explain it. There's theories. I mean, they're both six-round picks, so there's natural kinship between them, having been drafted so late in the draft and becoming such great players, respectively. Obviously, they both have this obsessive need to be great at football, and that obviously gels pretty well. And we saw it last week. Antonio Brown's case got resolved, and it was only a matter of time before he either A, re-signed with the Bucs or found another team. But, you know, at this rate, as much as he did to get back to playing with Tom Brady, I could not see him going away from that. So he is back with the Bucs. This team is locked and loaded, ready for another year. And again, regardless of what happens during the draft in the next coming days, I'm getting ready to pick them to go back to back. And I'm not saying that lightly. A lot of this has to do with Tom. I mean, it's so hard to go back to back, but this guy just does it. That's all he does. Goes to three straight Super Bowls, goes to two straight Super Bowls, gets his team and championship game after championship game. That's what he does, and I think that's what they're going to do with the Bucs. And good for them, because, you know, outside of this little run they're going to have with with Tom Brady, it's been a while since they celebrated anything positive football-wise, and, we'll see what happens after the fact. But, yeah, Antonio Brown's back, and I think the Bucs are clearly the best team in the NFL right now.
Oh, agreed. And I mean, look, we talk about it all the time. We talk about the Ric Flair comment, to be the man, you got to beat the man. You do. You have to beat the man. Right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are king of the hill. And they haven't done anything in this offseason to lose that. They've brought back every single major player that they needed to bring back. They've also brought back some of the role players, some of the bit players that may not get all the attention, may not get all the press, but they're a big part of the reason why of what they do. And they're still well-coached in Bruce Arians. For everyone that I know had some things to say about him this season and whatnot, he's a player's coach. The players love playing for him. And he knows his football. You don't win Super Bowls by happenstance. I don't care what anybody tells you. So at this point, I think the re-signing of Antonio Brown is great. You mentioned the chemistry with Tom Brady. These two guys absolutely love playing with one another. And I think that chemistry is only going to build this year. Now with a full season, it's hard to argue the evidence to the contrary. So good move for the Bucs. Good move for Antonio as well. This is a good move to bring him back. It's a good move for him to remain in Tampa under the tutelage of Tom Brady. And he had a very good season. He had a very benign season, if everyone can understand what I'm trying to say. And that to me is one of the best things about it. So good work for both sides. And it's good to see Antonio back in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and look, you said it right. I mean, he was quiet. It was really quiet for Antonio Brown outside of what he did on the football field. And that's all you want to hear when it comes to Antonio Brown, because in the very brief time that he spent with the Patriots, it was every time you saw Antonio Brown come across the newswire, you hold your breath about, well, who's reacting to something that he did today? And what's it going to, where are we going to go here? And if you see on the screen, if you're listening or watching on Full Press Radio, you can see the fancy little highlight video that we're pulling from YouTube here. But you can see, the guy is, prior to last year, averaged 1,500 yards, or I'm sorry, prior to the 2019 season that he missed, averaged 1,500 yards and like 15 touchdowns over the course of six seasons. That is a Hall of Fame worthy resume right there. And now he's humbled. He's quiet, and he comes in, and by all accounts, there wasn't a single issue within the locker room with him. And that's something, obviously, that was one of the talking points prior to him signing. Well, what's he going to do to the locker room? Is he going to shatter the locker room? He comes in, the team was 6-2, and then his first game is that awful game against the Saints, where the entire team was just bad. I mean, from start to finish, they were bad. But then you slowly started to see him get more involved in the offense to the point where, obviously, he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But as I mentioned before, last 5 weeks of the season, he was the guy. Not Mike Evans, not Chris Godwin, not Rob Gronkowski. It was Antonio Brown. And again, the connection between the two is certainly strong. And, you know, good for Antonio for realizing that, like, hey, you know, this is your opportunity right now to stick with Tom. I mean, he knows that that's how he's going to keep winning and being successful and staying out of trouble is being with Tom Brady and obviously enjoying that aspect of it. So I'm excited as a someone who obviously roots for Tom Brady, assuming that he doesn't play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We might get to that here in a little bit, but assuming he doesn't play the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it's going to be pretty easy to root for and expect them to win another Super Bowl because, I mean, why not? Why not? They got the most talent probably right now across the board, and you can speak to this as well. You can have talent, but until you win, there's something always missing. They've won. They know what it's like to win now. Having Tom come over and join this team, help them realize what they could do. Now that they know they can do it, now they know that they're champions, well, guess what? There's a little bit different swagger that you hold going forward. And most teams do struggle a little bit to realize how to handle that success. I don't worry about that with this Bucs team. Again, the presence of Tom Brady helps, but it also, I think, strengthens their chance for heading back to and potentially and probably winning a Super Bowl again this upcoming season.
Yeah, without question. You're absolutely right about the talent aspect of it. Until you win, until you are king of the mountain, there is something missing. You can put together all the talent in the world, but until you've actually gone on that run to win a championship, it's impossible to know how talent is going to gel, how they're going to be able to work together. All these aspects are so difficult to predict. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now they've done it. They've done it as a cohesive unit, and they've brought back all those pieces that have done it together. That's something that's extremely rare, especially in today's world of professional sports. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these teams are able to do it, how these teams are able to combat what Tampa Bay brings to the table, because not only do they bring a championship caliber roster talent-wise, but they're also bringing a cohesive unit that's won together. That's a very dangerous combination. And if I'm the rest of the NFL, I'm looking up at them right now and saying, this is going to be a tall task. Impossible? No. But improbable and maybe insurmountable? Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Well, and look, I mean, we obviously know that the Saints are, they're a different team now. I got animals behind me. They're a different team now than they were a year ago. Obviously, Drew Brees it has retired, so I don't foresee them being a team that's necessarily going to compete for the division. So this division is firmly in the grasp of the Bucs. That's theirs. There's a lot of other good teams in the NFC. I just, based on what I saw and how they handled some of those other better teams like Green Bay, I mean, immediately you probably think, okay, who's probably the closest to them in terms of contendership. And you'd be like, oh, Green Bay. But then you think back at the two times they played Green Bay, and, well, guess what? It wasn't really that competitive. Now, again, you know, I know it's been kind of a mess talking about that NFC Championship game because people seem to think that all Tom Brady did was throw three interceptions. No, they really took it to Green Bay in that first half, and had it not been a kind of out of the norm little stretch of plays there from Tom, This game probably wasn't going to be as close as my cat brings down my sheet wall behind me. Green Bay is probably their closest competitor. They have the second best quarterback in the conference. I just don't think the gap. I think the gap's gotten wider. I mean, I really have. I don't. There's nothing that Green Bay has done, and I hate. And I don't foresee them doing enough during the draft to close that gap. So to me, you know, their closest competition, team like Green Bay, is really not, you know, that big of a competition for them. I hate to say it, and that's not really taking too much away from Green Bay. It's just based on what I saw in the two matchups that they had last year. And the fact that, again, I don't see how Green Bay has gotten much better. They were a really good team to begin with, so it's not like they were a bad team. I'm just saying, like, at their best, I don't think they could compete with this team. And now I think it's going to be even harder. And, you know, maybe another team emerges, a team like Seattle. Maybe they kind of find their rhythm. They started hot last year, didn't quite get, you know, the full season worth of, you know, what we saw at the beginning. You know, I remember at the beginning of the year, everyone's like, oh, Russell Wilson's finally going to get that MVP vote. Well, he wasn't even close to the mix towards the end of the season. And that's not a hate against Russell Wilson. It was just, he wasn't as good in the second half. And, you know, that really kind of dampened the Seahawks' hopes. And again, I'm failing to see. I got cats going crazy behind me. I'm failing to see what team is going to emerge. Now, maybe it's San Francisco. You know, let's see what happens with them. We'll get to them here in a minute because maybe you can help me. And John Sapicetti is going to join us here too, so maybe he can clear some things up for us. But maybe San Francisco emerges from this draft as a competitor again. I mean, they have a lot of talent. Let's not forget, you know, the reason they were bad last year was because their players weren't on the field. I mean, they lost a lot of talent on the field. So I'm not writing them off. Maybe Arizona takes the next step. I'm not going to bank on it. A team in the NFC East, well, I like Washington. I think the Giants are heading in the right direction. I just don't think either of them are ready to compete right now with a team like the Bucs. Any other team that comes to mind right now that might, I mean, maybe not right this moment, but could towards the end of the season really contend with them for the NFC title?
For the NFC title, I mean, you mentioned the usual suspects. You've mentioned the Seattle Seahawks. You've mentioned the Green Bay Packers. There's a possibility that the Los Angeles Rams may be in the mix. I think there's still the jury out on that one with regard to how Matt Stafford is going to fit in with that team. I expect it to be a pretty good fit, but you never really know for sure. So there's a lot that could happen between now and the end of the season. Now the middle of the season, as we start to see teams get a chance to compete. But ultimately, again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the driver's seat, and they're in the driver's seat for a reason. They did what they needed to do to retain their talent. It'll be interesting to see what young pieces they add through the draft. Tampa Bay is in a unique situation right now that we've seen the Patriots in for so many years. The Chiefs were in there last year. They're now at the bottom end of the first round and looking to backfill positions of need. So if they can get some good young talent to keep them contenders for a number of years, it'll be interesting to see how this team's able to keep it up even after Tom Brady goes into that retirement mode, which I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows when it's going to happen. I don't even think Tom knows when it's going to happen. Yeah. But bottom line, it will be fun to watch if you're a Tampa Bay fan. So right now, I don't see a whole lot of teams giving them a huge push or a huge, obstacle in their way. Yeah, there are teams that'll contend. Can they be knocked off? Absolutely. But I think it's still a little too early to tell. I'm going to need a little bit more from the draft this weekend to see how some of these teams have stacked up and filled their positions of need to be able to contend with the champs.
Well, I think we just filled the spot here. I think we have our special guest that we were supposed to have on yesterday, but we had a little snafu. And might I add, I feel terrible about, because I don't check Facebook every day, but I got to wish a very, very happy belated birthday to our man on the phone right now, Mr. John Sapicetti. John, how old are you now? You're like 58, 59, 75, something like that?
Well, your first guess was right, Ian, 58. Ah. I'm now 58. which is Pete Brock's number. I'm going way back in the Patriots lore. Pete Brock, who was a really versatile offensive lineman back in the 70s and 80s, wore number 58. So that's me. I'm 58 years old.
No Matt
Chatham?
Next
year I'll be 59. I find Matt to be very irritating on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So I'll stay away from that one.
Well, I happen to agree with a lot of things he says, so that's probably why we disagree on things.
I also find you very irritating.
Well, yeah. Well, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Don't worry. You're not in the minority there. Trust me. We're obviously talking. We mentioned, the news this morning. That was kind of expected that Antonio Brown is re-upping with the Bucks, and we've been kind of discussing, like, no, I'm getting pretty close, John. I'm getting pretty close right now to predicting them to win the Super Bowl again. And I don't say this lightly, because I know every year, I mean, we see it every year. Whoever wins the championship, there's about 50 to 60% of quote-unquote experts just pick them to go back-to-back. I mean, we see it every year, and I kind of chuckle because I'm like, do people not learn their lesson? I mean, people sit there and say, oh, I know this hasn't been the case, but this team is going to do what no team has done in 20 years, and we do this every single year. So naturally, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm saying this team is going to do what a team hasn't done in over 20 years, almost 20 years, and that's go back-to-back. But I'm trying to find a reason why this team is not going to win, at the very least, go back to the Super Bowl. And one of my reasons, once I look at the landscape of the NFC, and I look to their closest competitor, the Packers, and I don't see much has changed since the last two times they faced each other. So I know you're an Aaron Rodgers guy, so maybe you can enlighten us a little bit, but do you see another team in the NFC right now that's even really close to competing with this Bucks team? And you know, mind you, they're going into this draft with literally nothing to lose. They could draft whoever they wanted, and it would not be a reach because they have, I mean, literally no holes to fill for 2021.
Everyone's back, and that includes O.J. Howard, who missed most of last year. So they're even deeper at tight end. They re-signed Antonio Brown, who happens to be their third wide receiver. That shows you how much talent they have at that position. I don't expect Brady to play any worse than he did a year ago. No. In fact, he may play a little bit better because he's going to have a more engaged offseason, more familiar with a lot of his weapons, and I'm not betting against him. No, I think Green Bay is probably the second-best team in the NFC. I think the Rams could be a factor if, you know, Matt Stafford plays at a level that many expect him to play at now that he's on a contending team. And then after that, who? I mean, Seattle, they still have a flawed roster, to say the least. San Francisco, we'll see what they do in the draft at quarterback. I mean, I'm getting tired of Kyle Shanahan myself. talk about someone who I find irritating, not necessarily Kyle Shanahan being irritating, but this greatness of Kyle Shanahan. When Jimmy Garoppolo has been his quarterback, he's 24-8. When he's not been his quarterback, he wins about 30% of his games. So just like pretty much every head coach, you need your quarterback. He's been to two Super Bowls, one as an offensive coordinator, one as a head coach. And he kind of like forgot what got him to that point in those games, which was a really good running game. I mean, he had the 28-3 lead over the Patriots and decided to try to go for more rather than play situational football. We know how that ended. And then he had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Garoppolo had played well in the first three quarters because he managed them. All of a sudden, he like unleashed Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter, and he wasn't up to the task. They lost that Super Bowl. So, you know, I just find it almost comical, the people that just, you know, lay at the altar of Kyle Shanahan, maybe because the connection with his dad, who, by the way, was a good football coach, became a great coach, by the way, when he got John Elway as his quarterback. Mm-hmm. And before that, when he was offensive coordinator in San Francisco, when he had, I don't know, Steve Young and Jerry Rice.
They're pretty good guys.
All those great players. Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I'm always a person that brings up Joe Gibbs, who won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. None of them a Hall of Famers. He won with different styles. That's a great coach, in my opinion. But we'll see what San Francisco does. I mean, let's not forget, he's been there 4 years. He's had one winning season, and that happened with Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback. And I'm not a huge Garoppolo fan. I think he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, but he's certainly better than Nick Mullins, as we've seen over the last several years. But back to your original point, Tampa looks locked and loaded. And if there's any question that Tom Brady is the best leader in the NFL, if not all of sports, these guys all came back. And I think they were paid well, but they probably could have hit the open market and maybe made more money. A few of the players, right? I don't think Antonio Brown was really a market for him. He's kind of a unique case. But these guys wanted to come back. Whatever Brady's selling, they're buying. You know, and it's fascinating. Obviously, it's more Brady than Bruce Arians. I mean, Arians was there the year before. I didn't see everybody flocking back to Tampa Bay. No, they're going to be very difficult to beat. And then look at their schedule, guys. I mean, you know, 17-0 could be in play. I know that's kind of crazy to say, but it could be in play. The division is not as strong as it's been over the years because now New Orleans is kind of regrouping. Atlanta's in a rebuild. Carolina is below mediocre. And then they're playing the NFC East, which we know how bad that division is. They're playing the AFC East, and their toughest opponent will be Buffalo, and that game is going to be in Tampa. They come here probably later in the season in a nationally televised game. That's going to be interesting. But Tampa right now looks like the favorite. But the only thing I'll just end on, which I've kind of filibustered here for a bit, is that we've never had a repeat Super Bowl matchup. Right. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a very strong chance, in fact, most likely a chance that neither one of the two, Kansas City and Tampa, one of those teams won't be back in the Super Bowl. I just think the AFC is deeper right now than the NFC. Tampa's going to be very difficult to beat. Look, Green Bay's not a good matchup against them. And they had the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. You know, preferred it was a little bit colder and maybe blustery that day, but it wasn't. And they still couldn't beat them on the frozen tundra of Lambeau. Actually wasn't frozen that day. It's a bad matchup because they have trouble containing that pass rush at Tampa Bay. Well, so they look like the team to beat without question.
And I'd also say I highly doubt that you're going to get another three interception game out of Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game if they have. So like of all the circumstances, it was perfect for Green Bay to take advantage of, and they just didn't do it. And look, this isn't a pile on Green Bay. It's just looking at it realistically because, you know, you brought up a I want to mention real quick Kyle Shanahan because it for some reason it's that whole grouping of coaches. I throw Sean McVay in there because his quote unquote mystique is getting quite annoying as well. We all remember that ridiculous story about how he has a guy who just pulls him back from the sideline. I'm like,
right.
I mean, you're supposed to be this great coach and you can't even stay on the sideline. Like, are you kidding me? And then I laugh. Like we've all seen the photos of the draft mansion. I'm like, what is this? One of those a YouTube influencer houses? Like, what are we doing here? Like, look at and I know it's easy to go and look at what Bill Belichick's, you know, draft room was last year, but it's kind of hammering home a point that, I mean, again, why do you need this elaborate draft room? You're focusing on all the wrong details, and I said it during that Super Bowl, the Patriots and the Rams. When we saw those videos after the fact, and Sean McVay was walking up to Bill Belichick in basically awe. Like, imagine if I walked into a room and met Tom Brady. That was the reaction that you were getting from Sean McVay to Bill Belichick. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I saw that before, I mean, there's no chance that they win this game. They're focusing on the wrong things. They are maybe buying into their own hype a little bit. And, you know, that's a problem because, like players, coaches have egos, too. And, look, since we're talking about Kyle Shanahan and that whole group, Mike and I started kind of mentioning Jimmy Garoppolo, and I wanted to kind of, you know, save this conversation for when you hopped on here. But I tweeted this morning, and I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how a quarterback who is pushing 30 years old, he'll be 30 this year, who has played one full season in the NFL, is somehow valued higher than what the Patriots originally traded him for, which was a second-round pick. I saw someone say, oh, they're going to offer a first-round pick. Would you give number 15? No. No. Would you? No. None of that. Like, I saw someone, oh, what about this morning, Stephon Gilmore and pick number 4? No. No, 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 no. If you want to give him a fourth-round pick and take a flyer on Jimmy Garoppolo, fine. I don't care about that. Anything more than that, I think, is a horribly stupid idea to do. And I don't think Belichick thinks it's going to happen or expects it to happen at all. And Mike can, you know, hopefully back me up, or if not, I'm going to cut his mic off. But hopefully he can back me up here and just say that I just don't get the fascination with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, why? How has his value increased when his value on the field has only decreased since he's been gone? I don't get it. So, Mike, back me up here, man. Why? Why is this happening?
First of all,
is that an order to Mike? Poor Mike's getting an order.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. You know, if it was this is more of a suggestion, a friendly suggestion. On screen, I'm running my finger across my throat, threatening him, but it's all right.
Yeah, he's cutting my mic off. Extinguish the greatest juvenile mind of our time. How dare you? No, all kidding aside, I think you're hitting the nail on the head when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. It's perception versus reality. And look, I've covered Jimmy up here in New England. I've seen what this kid can do on the practice field. I can tell you he's tougher than people give him credit for. I can tell you that he's a lot better of a leader than people give him credit for. People respond to Jimmy Garoppolo. They like playing alongside him. You take a look at his San Francisco teammates, they'll sing his praises constantly about him. But the one thing that you have to remember is exactly what Ian said. He's played one full season. There is not a large body of work there to warrant the type of haul that a lot of people are expecting San Francisco to get for him and thinking that the Patriots are the only team that's going to do it. Now, I do believe that if he were made available at a reasonable price, would the Patriots at least think about it? Absolutely. They're going to think about it. There's no question about it. But at the same time, you also have to be realistic and say to yourself, what am I giving up to get him here? Is this truly an upgrade over Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham this year, which is probably the platoon that they're looking at? If the Patriots are going to move up, and John, Ian, you guys have seen it, there's tons of rumors out there that the Patriots may be looking to move up as high as number four with the Atlanta Falcons. There are talks that a groundwork of a deal has been laid out with them and the Carolina Panthers at number eight. A lot of talk going around this time of year. Are the Patriots going to do it? Are they going to make that move for a quarterback of the future? If they do it, I think it's going to be for someone in this year's draft. I don't think it's going to be for Jimmy. And I know a lot of people in New England are going to be upset about hearing that. And for lack of a better term, I think that's maybe 20/20 hindsight being a bit romanticized when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo has not been durable. That's the understatement of the day so far, and it's not even quite 10 a.m. For sure. But I think Kyle Shanahan kind of threw him under the bus the other day at a press conference when he's saying, we know Jimmy's problem is with injuries. The guy blew out his knee and also had a high ankle sprain, and you know, maybe he can be better at avoiding those injuries. I don't think it's necessarily good or bad luck when it comes to injuries at certain times. I mean, there's a reason Tom Brady has been hurt once in his career. He knows how to avoid pass rushes. He knows how to avoid, you know, those types of situations where Jimmy maybe tries to extend the plays too often, and that gets him literally hurt. We know how he got hurt in 2016 in his second game against the Miami Dolphins, you know, when he hurt his shoulder and missed the rest of the season. And of course, Brady had been suspended and came back and led the Patriots to yet another Super Bowl win. But I think he's worth a second round pick only because you have Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham. I mean, I'm not a big fan of either. My perfect scenario, and you know this, guys, and this is, you know, obviously outside of the box, is that they go with Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham. They go 10-7, make it as a wild card. And after all of that, 80-year-old Robert Kraft walked into nearly 70-year-old Bill Belichick's office and said, could you go get a quarterback? And that leads to Aaron Rodgers, who I think after this year can be available. And then Rodgers finishes his career with Belichick. I think that would be absolutely a fantastic story. It would make me very happy, which at 58 years old, I need to be made happy at this point.
But you need to be pampered and
oh, man, how like insane would that be? I mean, and then maybe we get a Rodgers Brady Super Bowl. I mean, that would be the most highly rated Super Bowl ever, right? Because you'd have Belichick against Brady, Rodgers against Brady. I mean, just think of the possibilities, how cool that would be. That's my ultimate scenario. It's probably not going to happen. I do like Justin Fields if mm-hmm. they're able to move up. I think for some reason he's been attacked His work ethic was attacked. Did you see him at his pro day? His physique? To get to that point looking like that, you probably have to work pretty hard. All the reports are that he's a smart kid, a great leader. His teammates love him. His coaches love him. I mean, you know, during the pandemic, he was talking about, well, let's get back to playing football. And he was a leader among the players to get back on the football field. Justin Fields, we saw him in the national semifinal throw six touchdown passes, half of them with broken ribs, did the best he could against Alabama in the national championship game. No one was beating Alabama last year. That was obvious. I don't know why he's all of a sudden dropped to like fifth in most, you know, mock drafts among the quarterbacks. I would love to see him with the Patriots. We know he idolizes Cam Newton. Cam could be his mentor for a year, and then you move into Justin Fields. That is a scenario I can buy into. I also wouldn't mind seeing the Patriots draft another defender. If Micah Parsons is available at 15, go get him. Now you build up a stacked defense. You run the football behind a good offensive line. You've added some weapons. But now you're hoping Cam Newton is 10, 20% better than he was last year, which I think that is attainable because he was god-awful for most of last year. That could be the scenario going forward. But I'm not a huge Garoppolo fan, but I also think that he would add value. And the problem I had is when they moved him, they could have got more for him. And I think that that's pretty well documented. I don't think they would have got four first-round picks like Adam Schefter was saying they wouldn't accept. But they could have got more for him than a second-round pick. And, you know, when he's played well. He's just not there often enough. And in football, you better be playing. That's the sport. This isn't basketball where you load manage and come back for the playoffs. He's not Kevin Durant, that's for sure.
No, yeah, and that's exactly it. It's one of the things that Brady says all the time. The best, you know, the best quality in a quarterback is availability. You got to be there for your teammates. If you're not there, what's the point? And you know, this is the terrible cycle that I get into all the time on Twitter because you know people generally will accept that you know, hey, the best quality about a quarterback, you have to be there, and you know. Teams, I mean, you got three teams lining up to take quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3. But then in the same breath, people sit there and say, oh, wins don't matter for quarterbacks. Like, I had someone telling me yesterday that kickers have a bigger impact than quarterbacks because technically a team could win 3-0 based on it. I don't.
Oh,
trust me, if you can't follow that logic, you're not the only one. I was having trouble myself.
Who said that on Twitter? Oh, Adam Vinatieri? I mean, who was the person that came up with that theory? I mean,
some intellectually limited person. Let's just put it that way. I'm saying that as nice as I possibly can. Everyone does everything but admit that yes, the quarterback is the most important position on the field. I mean, you could have. I mean, look at Philadelphia, the dream team. Think about all the talent they had. They didn't have a quarterback good enough. Okay.
Yep.
You know, teams will have. You know, people. This is the problem that people have with. You know, in hindsight, looking at the Bucs, they're like, oh, well, of course, this team was loaded. They were just a quarterback away. No, they weren't just a quarterback away. They were Tom Brady away. I mean, yes, no one's saying that this team didn't have a bunch of talent, and I think people are finally seeing it now that, you know, the spotlight is more on Tampa, but that doesn't diminish the impact that Brady had because with all that talent that they had and a former first overall pick at quarterback, they couldn't go any better than 7-9. And that was the outlier because they were 5-11 prior to that. So the quarterback is the most important position, and it starts with them being on the field. If you're not on the field, what's the point? And that's really where I kind of land with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm like, look, you know, I don't see this getting any better. I saw him play 6 quarters and get injured with the Patriots. Yep. Okay. I saw him go to San Francisco, have a nice little run, but in his very first season as the quote unquote starter, get injured and miss time. You know, yes, he played one full season. They went to the Super Bowl, but one out of what, 6? That's not, you know what I mean? That's not, you know, what I'm looking for. So I just don't see the value or the risk being worth it to go out and give any sort of capital, really, to San Francisco for him, especially if, you know, look, if they draft a quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up cutting Jimmy Garoppolo in the not-so-near future or not-so-distant future. I kind of made it sound like he was going to get cut in, like, 2 years. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, to me, I just don't understand how anyone can look and say, yeah, Jimmy is the guy. Well, yeah, if we're having like a 5-game season, maybe. But, you know, that's not the case. It's 17.
I would tell you, if Jimmy comes here with Cam Newton and Jared Stidham, that would certainly be the best-looking quarterback room in the league. I mean, you're talking about three handsome dudes, right? I know Brady's a good-looking dude, but, you know, he's going to have to carry that room in Tampa Bay all by himself. I don't even know who the best is. Blaine Gabbert still there, who looks kind of like turn into Christian Bale in The Machinist. I mean, yeah. Lost a lot of weight. But, yeah, no, the thing, too, that kind of makes me laugh is when people say, well, when Jimmy comes back to New England, Belichick will coach that out of him, you know, putting himself in injury position. He got hurt here in the second game. I mean, who was the head coach? Bill Belichick. Like, I know Belichick's the best coach or whatever, but, you know, he can't cure everything.
Yeah.
You know, some guys just get hurt a lot. Tony Romo got hurt a lot, whether it was Bill Parcells as his coach or whoever. I mean, it's just it happens.
Another Eastern Illinois guy, by the way.
Yeah, they love those Eastern Illinois guys that are good-looking dudes, and I like Jimmy. You know, is Mike? We both have to root for him. His name ends in a vowel.
Yeah.
you know, what the hell? Why not? But he has become one of the most polarizing players in the league, let alone in San Francisco or New England. You know, we saw him healthy once, and he went to the Super Bowl, but then he didn't have a good fourth quarter with a 10-point lead. So. We kind of want him to be the quarterback. He kind of is right out of central casting, right? Good looking guy, confident, all of that stuff. But you know, the skill set is somewhat limited. I mean, let's not start comparing him to Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes or any of these great quarterbacks. I mean, I think he's a middle of the road quarterback, but if you're looking at the 2021 Patriots, that is an improvement over Cam Newton and Jared Stidham. So, you know, as you say, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much of an improvement it is, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, like, that's the thing. I don't think it's such a drastic improvement enough to just give up assets that could potentially be something better. And again, to go back and do the retread with Jimmy G, like, look, there's this fascination among some media members, and a lot of it stems from that, you know, the quote-unquote rift between Belichick and Brady, which, again, I think is... You know, what do they call BS when the details people use to suggest that, you know, there wasn't any sort of 20-year built up like, hey, you know, you work with someone for 20 years, you know, there's going to be moments where you're a little bit tense. I think that's the extent of it. Again, the facts, and I say that very loosely, quote unquote, that have been thrown around about what happened, you know, about, you know, Tom locking Jimmy out and doing all and Robert Kraft coming down and laying the hammer saying, no, you have to trade. No. None of that happened. Like I feel very confident that that did not happen. And I've said it before, what really happened was Tom Brady's play forced the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's it. I mean, of course, Bill Belichick drafted Jimmy with the intention of, you know, potentially handing the reins over, but you know, in Belichick's fashion, I'm sure he was not assuming that Tom was going to continue to play at a high level. He was being pragmatic. He was being realistic, thinking, okay, well, you know, not every quarterback or not any quarterback has been able to maintain this high level, so I'm going to go with the odds. Well, Tom, as he's done his entire career, has beaten the odds and continues to play at a high level. So Bill changed his mind, and rightfully so, because guess what? They won more Super Bowls with Tom Brady. So, again, I don't see the fascination in this. Again, fans... Are they want Jimmy G, that those six quarters against two bad? Let's not forget, okay? And this was used quite a bit, like, you know, in the whole, oh, well, Bill Belichick went 4-0 with Jimmy G, and they played the damn Cardinals, okay? The damn Cardinals.
But the Cardinals the year before were in the NFC Championship game, but that night they were. And no, they weren't were 9.5.
Yeah, but they weren't.
No, but they were.
I was going to say go ahead.
That particular night, they were a 10-point favorite.
Oh, sure, sure.
No one expected the Patriots to win that game. And Garoppolo played really well in that game, and I thought he played very well against the Dolphins. But to your point, they weren't playoff games. He wasn't playing against the elite competition. He looked damn good, like he could just fit in. And look, anybody thought that he was going to be the next Tom Brady. There is no next Tom Brady. He's a unicorn. So, but I think that what happens is you pick sides, and obviously you know, you want to say that Garoppolo's worth more if you're Mike Giardi, who loves Garoppolo. You know, you want him back here and you think he's worth whatever it takes to get him here. I would send the 46th overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo because, I mean, they've kind of filled a lot of needs through free agency. And if that's the guy Bill wants, then that's going to please Bill. The only thing is, I think it's kind of risky if Bill goes and gets Jimmy, because if Jimmy comes here and doesn't play well, then it's another mark against Belichick of like, this is the guy you wanted to replace Brady with? You know, at that point, you're like, geez, Bill, you really blew it. Well, so that could be part of the narrative. And we know all of these guys, no matter how much they say differently, always want to protect their you-know-what in any kind of moves.
Yeah, and look, I just don't know. I just, to me, a lot of it just doesn't make sense. You don't bring – I think this has been the move for a while, and Mike and I have talked about it, and you trust me, I want this to be the call, because that means I was right, and I love being right. I love it. There's nothing I love more than getting confirmation that my opinions were correct, but I just – for a long time, I'm like, look, this is a Cam Newton team. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, accept it, folks. And people are, you know, the season Twitter out there is, you know, they're throwing everything against the wall. So eventually, when it's all said and done, they can go back and say, hey, mm-hmm. I said this. Well, you also said six other things that contradict this.
Right.
So, but, you know, good for them. They're going to mark it and point that out. But, you know, I don't see how this isn't going to be a team that isn't led by Cam Newton. And the only way I see a different quarterback being in here is if it's a draft pick. Because, you know, mm-hmm. again, I look at the very best, a Jimmy Garoppolo move is lateral to me. I don't think that's an improvement. I don't think it's necessarily a downgrade. I happen to do, you know, you mentioned about 20% improvement from Cam Newton. I think that's the floor. I really do. I mean, I know a lot of people hate hearing excuses and hate hearing justifications, but, you know, I thought the situation he was put in, not only just obviously at the start of the season, but, you know, throughout the middle of the season, having to deal with COVID and all that, mm-hmm. I thought was an incredibly tough situation for him. And I think everything but, you know, and it's going to sound crazy, everything but the performance on the field, I think he passed with flying colors. Leadership.
No, I get your point. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
So to me, I think just by virtue of not only the improvement of the roster around him, but just having an actual offseason and training camp. And look, I think he's a guy who really thrives off crowd interaction. And that's one thing I think we didn't get a chance to really experience from Cam Newton. It's something I think a lot of fans would obviously love. But, like, you know, giving footballs to little kids. I mean, that's such a huge part of who he is and why people love him. And I think his energy and his game really can play off of that. So for so many reasons, for so many factors that just based on the normalcy of this season versus last season, it's not like there's many steps that need to be taken for these things to happen. Like, these are just by virtue of this being a normal quote unquote season are going to help him. I think just on those instances alone, I think he has a better season. And it's you know, he doesn't really have to have that much better of a season. Think about how close this team was a year ago to just winning a couple more games and being within that playoff contention. So, like I said, I've said it for a while. I'm going to continue to say it. I'm going to say it through the draft. And that is A, Cam Newton's going to be your starter, and B, just say no to Jimmy G. So that's
ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
one.
You like that? And, I'm gonna make some T-shirts actually.
Well, I got my saying hashtag Aaron Rodgers Patriots 2022.
That's right.
Which is kind of a long hashtag, but that's my guy.
Oh, it works. It works though. It works. So, folks, this has been great. Obviously, if you're tuning in here live, you can see both myself and Mike on the screen for the first time ever. We've been doing the show for on and off for about 2-3 years now. This is the first time we've been on the screen together at the same time. Usually it's just everyone looking at my ugly mug. So thank you for tuning in. We will be back, obviously, tomorrow. We're going to look a little bit more into the first round as the first round of the NFL draft does kick off tomorrow. And then Friday, of course, we will recap the first round and then look forward to the rest of the weekend. So have a great day, everyone. Enjoy your Wednesday. Give us a follow on Twitter, at FPC Radio Live. You can follow Mike. It's at MDABATEFPC. Of course, I am at IGLEN31. And everyone, please, I implore you, go to John's Twitter page, at JohnSapp25, and wish him a happy, happy belated birthday, and just bombard him with messages and make sure to remind him how Tom Brady's better than Aaron Rodgers. So, folks, have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.